Good morning. My name is Karen Cullen, and this presentation today will describe current vaccination coverage for the birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine among 8 CDC immunization grantees participating in the Immunization Information System Sentinel Sites Project. Our study objective was to describe the administration of the birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine between the date of birth and up to 5 days later for children in the 3, 5, and 19 to 35 month old age groups. We began to collect hepatitis B birth dose prospectively since January 2008, and our analysis continued through December of 2009. Looking at the 19 to 35 month old age group will permit us to make some comparisons to the National Immunization Survey estimates, and looking at the younger age groups will enable us to see the most current vaccine administration patterns in our sites. In December 2005, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices made recommendations to improve prevention of perinatal and early childhood hepatitis B transmission, which included implementation of universal infant vaccination beginning at birth. Newborns who are medically stable and weigh at least 2,000 grams should receive their first dose of hepatitis B vaccine prior to leaving the hospital. However, if mothers test positive or have unknown status for hepatitis B surface antigen, then the baby should be vaccinated within 12 hours following birth. CDC uses a variety of methods to assess vaccination coverage. This study focuses on Immunization Information Systems, or IIS, which allow for timely assessment of vaccine coverage estimates. For those of you who aren't familiar, IIS are confidential, population-based computer information systems that were originally designed to collect vaccination records for all children within a geographic area from multiple vaccine providers and consolidate them. Although the focus of IIS has primarily been on children, they do extend to, many of them extend to the lifetime, and currently 75% of children less than 6 years of age in the U.S. have two or more records in an IIS. The primary sources of IIS data are clinical data that are entered in by health providers, staff, and health departments, billing data, and downloads of birth certificate information, many of which contain the vaccination date for the birth dose of hepatitis B. Just so you have a little background on the source of our data, the IIS Sentinel Site Project includes 8 CDC immunization grantees who have chosen a subset of their state or city IIS for analysis. Data collection for evaluation projects is limited usually to persons less than 19 years of age, and these sites use enhanced data quality procedures in their areas. They all have very high participation, at least 85% of the vaccine provider sites, and at least 85% of children less than 19 years of age. In addition, the majority of vaccination data are processed by the IIS within 30 days. So the data are extremely timely. This slide is just demonstrating the diversity among the sites and includes data from their recent quarterly vaccination reports and their 2009 mid-year progress reports. The 8 participating grantees include Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, New York City, North Dakota, Oregon, and Wisconsin. Although New York City and North Dakota use their entire geographic area for this project, grantees like Oregon limit their analysis to the greater Portland area, and Arizona focuses on northern part of their state. In addition, you can see that the size of the sites varies greatly. The smallest site is Colorado, which has just over 13,000 children under the age of 6 enrolled, whereas New York has approximately 900,000. In addition, you can see that the IIS have extremely timely data, Approximately 88% of records are processed into the IIS within 30 days. For this analysis, for each quarter and year from the first quarter of 2008 through the fourth quarter of 2009, each IIS reported the number of vaccine recipients who were 3, 5, and 19 to 35 months of age. To calculate the percent of children receiving the birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine, we divided vaccine recipients by the total number of children in each age group enrolled in the IIS. Data were analyzed by quarter, by sentinel site, by age group, and by the number of days after birth in which they received their vaccine. In 2008, we only collected data on hepatitis B vaccine administration from the date of birth to age 2 days. To improve our comparability with the National Immunization Survey, we extended that to be 5 days in 2009 so that we could make comparisons at up through age 3 days with the NIS. This graph shows the distribution of hepatitis B doses by day. The data were assessed at 3, 5, and 19 to 35 months. And the denominator here is the sum of all the doses that were administered within the first 5 days for each of the age groups. As we can see, nearly half of those doses were administered on the day of birth, and an additional 35% were administered on the first full day of life. This graph looks similar, but it's slightly different in that the denominator changed. It shows the percentage of children in each age group who received a dose by day of life. The denominator here is all children in that age group rather than the total number of doses administered from day 0 to 5. And while the majority of children are vaccinated on days 0 and 1, we can also see here that by adding days 4 and 5 to calculate coverage, only adds approximately 1 percentage point to our calculations. This graph shows the 2009 IIS coverage in comparison to the 2008 NIS estimates. In 6 of the 8 sites, we can see that coverage calculated from the IIS is higher than that of the NIS. And we can also see the coverage calculations vary greatly from site to site. This graph shows us the percentage of children who received the birth dose on day 0 and also on day 1, looking at it by different sites. Again, we can see some variability between the sites in terms of the percent of children who were vaccinated. But we also see that the vast majority of sites had more children receive vaccine on day 0 than day 1. And this is fitting with the ACIP recommendation that women who have children with unknown hepatitis B surface antigen status or positive should be vaccinated within 12 hours. So we would anticipate the majority would be vaccinated on day 0. The last set of slides, we really wanted to look at maybe at differences between 2008 and 2009 by the days of coverage to see if there were any changes between the 2 years. So we can see that in this slide, the percent vaccinated among 3-month-olds was nearly identical in 2008 to 2009, with a slight, ever so slight increase from 2008 to 2009. Likewise, this is the data for 5-month-olds, and it doesn't look like it really changed at all. And again, any increases that were seen were negligible. And here is data for the 19 to 35-month-old children. We can see that the percent vaccinated on day 0 increased approximately 4 percentage points from 2008 to 2009, and there were no differences for days 1 and days 2. One important strength of this study is that the data set includes data from over 1.8 million enrolled children less than 6 years of age. These data also provide timely estimates of hepatitis B birth dose vaccine uptake, as 88 to 95% of vaccines are entered into the IIS within 30 days of administration. And the IIS Sentinel sites really provide the most current data available by reporting on children born within the last months of last 3 months of 2009. Some limitations include that the data are reported to CDC in aggregate form, and we don't have any discrete vaccination dates for each child. So, not having a timestamp for the time of birth, or the time in which the first dose of hepatitis B vaccine was given. In addition, not having the surface antigen results of the mother really didn't allow us to accurately measure the adherence to the recommendations to administer the birth dose within 12 hours. But we did use vaccination given on the day of birth, or day zero, as a proxy measure for this practice. Additionally, some birth hospitals may not be reporting the birth dose of hepatitis B completely to the IIS, which is why we see some variability between states. Minnesota has reported in a 2009 article that at least three of their birthing hospitals were not reporting the birth dose accurately and completely to vital records. So, since many states rely on downloads of birth certificate data to populate the IIS with patient demographics and that first dose of hepatitis B vaccine, there may be some incomplete reporting on birth certificates that could affect our coverage calculations, not just in Minnesota, but beyond. In conclusion, the majority of children are receiving the birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine by 2 days. In addition, coverage estimates that were calculated from the IIS are comparable to the NIS. And extending the window in which we examine coverage to 5 days, those last 2 days do not increase coverage significantly. Although adherence to the ACIP recommendation is high, there really remains room for improvement. And our recommendations are that it's important to reach out to birthing hospitals to ensure that they report data to vital records and or to their IIS so that we can help improve proper documentation of the birth dose of hepatitis B vaccine. In addition, we should continue to assess the birth dose by 3 days. And we'd like to conduct further analysis, perhaps linking birth certificate data with hospital discharge data, so we can examine more closely the adherence to the ACIP recommendations, specifically relating to birth weight and within the 12-hour window. And I can't give a presentation without acknowledging my Sentinel site colleagues from our 8 sites, and also colleagues within CDC. Here is my contact information if you have any questions. Is it on?
Thank you very much. I think we have time for some questions. And if you would like to ask a question, please come to the microphone, and it would be very nice if you would identify yourself too.
I can start off with a data-related question. One of your conclusions was that the estimates of the IIS were close to the NIS estimates. They looked a little bit different in your picture, and I was wondering whether this inconsistent reporting from hospitals to registries was responsible for that, do you think? And if if the differences in the different states are related to the differences in the hospital reporting?
We think that the differences between the IIS estimates and the NIS estimates, they're actually pretty small from what we usually see. So that was really encouraging. And we think that some of the practices related to the birthing hospitals is related to it, but also we have to remember that not all providers report to an IIS. So if a birthing hospital hasn't reported the birth dose, and the provider that the child then sees doesn't participate, then we're missing out in that. Whereas with the NIS, the methodology used, they might have a better chance of capturing that.
Next question.
Roz Singleton from Alaska. Just a broader question on birth dose, since we're all aware that birth dose is critical in providing that net of preventing vertical transmission. Have there been assessments of why children are missed on the birth dose? What are the factors affecting that missed group?
Is that addressed to one of the speakers?
This is not really an area in which I know too much, but I'm gonna take a wild guess that I imagine that with a large number of vaccines that children are given, that some parents may be a little bit more hesitant to give the birth dose of hepatitis B, I'm assuming, but I mean, I defer to you all, the experts.
I think there are a number of opportunities for looking at the reasons, and people have done surveys. Some of them have been published, but many have not been published, so we hope that they'll come up. But there are a large variety of reasons, and I'm not sure that they have been well enough characterized to say specifically which reasons are the most important.
Grace Aaron from Bethesda. I just have a comment. Some of the reasons some parents gave me is their children are not active yet, so they don't want the Hep B. And you really have to educate them that it's not just being active, it's the only reason why you have to have Hep B. And in my clinic, we have this picture showing someone with a big, I think it's a liver, and then the abdomen protruding. And that was a cause of reason for not having Hep B. And that sometimes helps. It's a gross picture, but when they see it, it's at least they let the subsequent babies get it. That has been some of the reasons people have given me.
Thank you very much.